You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What's up, everybody? In this podcast, we talk a little music, the entrepreneurial spirit, and of course, stocks. We're going to get into patterns. You know, all your favorites, the double tops, triple bottoms, head and shoulders, and a bunch of other shapes. We're living in the roaring 20s, at least for today, because everything's green. We're going to see how long that lasts. We're going to talk bonds. No, not stock bonds. I'm talking James. We'll also talk a little strategy and navigating the road ahead. As always, none of this is financial advice or investment ideas. Thanks for listening. Welcome to Punk Stock.
But okay. I did actually sell it.
I know.
I'm bummed.
I know. Not. It's.
But because I'm playing the percent game in my mind. Every time we talk about, like, I get down 10, you need to set your shit up. You need to have 10% stop loss. And I don't ever do that. Right. I don't ever do that. And then it gets to minus, it was like 54%.
Dude, this put I bought.
You're still in it?
I have it till November 20th.
Okay.
Not on Pfizer.
No, but no. It's just like,
what is it?
A dumb thing.
Is there any value left in
Sava?
It?
I don't even really know how to tell.
You
the
go
SAVA?
Open,
yeah.
What did you buy it in?
E-Trade.
I'm okay, so in your if you open up Power E-Trade on your phone, you'll be able to see what the value is left on it. It'll say open value and you look for that number.
Open value.
It'll either be a negative or a positive.
Well, yesterday I was like break even. Because it tanked.
What's your strike price?
Now I'm down like $13.
Okay, so what I'd suggest, what's the value left on it?
Like how? Like the market value?
Intrinsic.
Yes, let's just say the market value.
I bought it for $25. The market value is $12.50 now.
Yeah, that's not a good put to buy.
Yeah,
here's what I'd say. You have $12.50 left on it.
Uh-huh.
If it's not going to move today, take that $12.50, roll it into another. You can even turn it into a call if you feel like it's going to go the opposite way. But you roll it into something else that is a little bit more...
Something greater.
A better
like,
of a...
Like, had I bought the right put, right now even, I would be up like $50.
Right.
I'd be rich.
I feel, and I think that...
I just want to sell for break even just so now I know which put to buy.
Well, you have it till the 20th. So you'll be safe really up, I say, until next Wednesday is when you'll notice the value really start to drop. You'll notice on Monday, but next Wednesday will be...
And then it'll be harder for me to even get to break even, right?
It'll be harder for you to get to break even. So you'll have to hope that thing is diving down.
Pray, baby.
Yeah.
But I do think you can roll out of that still.
Yeah. It's only a $25 put, which is why I did it.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
I know.
Yeah, that's.
I should have just bought the $90 one.
Yeah.
Because I don't even trade with my E-Trade account.
And my rule of doing the complete opposite thing of what I feel inside my heart, definitely my heart won with Pfizer. And I should have did the opposite. I should have put a put on it. Like, how many times does this have to happen?
It was just the time that you bought it. That was all that got you. But didn't you have actual shares as well? Did you sell your actual shares?
Yes.
But you should have held those. If you would have held those, next week, it's going to go up.
And if it does, you know, mwah, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Just help the rest of the world. At this point, go on and be great.
If you pull up the Pfizer chart, Dom, can you pull up the Pfizer chart? Look, this is just a point here.
Yeah, make it.
Look at the Pfizer chart. Give me a 1 or 2 month Pfizer chart.
Give me a 1 and a 2.
Yeah, pick. You pick 1 or 2 months. And then you tell me what the low is of that month.
34.
Right. So if he sold it at 37.
Yeah.
So that's a $3 difference. That's not an insane amount. What your upside is, though, next week is going to be much higher than that $3 loss average that you take when it had zero.
Why are you so
news.
Confident?
Because it
earnings?
No, what I'm getting at is
I think it just
is
had earnings.
The average low for the last 2 months is 30 $4 to $36.
Right.
You sold it at a dollar above that.
Right.
So it's not going to go much lower than that.
I know.
Especially with what it has happening right now. Next You're week, right. it's dropping more news that is going to be very exciting for the stock price. And I think it will get evaluated at a much higher
They did higher say, place. Though, this morning that somebody in the company, I'm not sure who, don't quote me, but they did sell a lot of shares right before the news of the vaccine dropped.
It's pretty interesting when you actually see it firsthand.
I do think, though, the longer that this back and forth goes on is not going to be good.
No, it's very bad for
Because it's getting, like, out of control. Like, someone's got to, there's got to be an adult in the room now that stands up on somewhere. Yep. Maybe it's a guy from Pfizer. I'm like, listen, no one's getting the vaccine until everyone says they're sorry.
And then some OTC will be like, we got the vaccine, don't worry.
That's actually what I was just checking, because Pfizer's been...
I know we always talk about knowing who you are as a trader, understanding your strategy, and having a plan. I think in the scenario we were just talking about, though, there's a little bit of confusion between strategy and who you are. Because although you do have to cut your losses and manage your risk properly, there's also a level of weathering the storm. Stocks fluctuate, numbers go up and down all day long. So if you're not looking to quickly day trade with a huge position, managing your loss becomes something a little different, I think. When a bigger stock runs, and I mean not a penny stock, the market needs to correct itself. So it's natural for it to sway a little bit. In this case, I think it was more of a swing trade. So you may hold through your losses a little bit, and then ultimately it will swing back up around higher than when you bought in. And then those losses become profits before you know it, hopefully. Either way, we have to wait till next week to see how this plays out. And in the case of Nick, he's actually a really good trader. I've seen him make some really intense moves, but really naturally and almost effortless. I think what happened to him here was he was thinking with a day trading mind, treating it almost like a penny stock, because when they fall, they don't come back, at least right away. And when you get bit, it leaves a mark. So I don't blame him. We were talking about patterns, and we were talking about patterns that you look for when you're day trading, when you're looking at the candlesticks moving and everything. And we put a lot of emphasis on the penny stocks and OTC market candles or movements and patterns. But we don't often talk about what the patterns are called that span across the entire market. Now, Dom, I would assume they're the same patterns like the cup and handle pattern.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a more general pattern.
Yeah.
For universally around everywhere.
I like it when you say handle.
Have you used cup and handle? Now, for those of you listening who don't know what cup and handle is, it actually does look like a little cup with a handle.
Yeah.
And then it has a breakout point.
Yeah, I guess I've used a version of it where it's like I've looked at a certain, like it'd be a technical breakout level to where it does pass a previous high and buy there. I'm not that great at it. I'm better at buying before then and selling into
you
that.
You get caught in the cup?
I'm in.
Pre-cup.
You buy when, like right before it gets to the cup, and then it has that huge
like at the
U-shape.
Start of the handle.
But the handle is usually end of the cup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll buy into that momentum.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I'm getting out before it probably
so you're
goes parabolic.
Actually in the cup, right? When it's swooping up, that's when you get. That's a great move.
I like the
it's a great move.
I like buying into the consolidation that happens.
I love that. And I'm
that
glad.
That is good. That is good. I try to do that too. It's hard.
It's not easy.
It's all like, I think Roland Wolf, Jack Kellogg, all those guys talk about like risk reward a lot. I feel like the way I try to do it is more in the vein of that, where you're having like best risk to reward. When a stock's up too much, I get too nervous. My nerves get to me.
Yeah. Right.
Because the reward is like, how far can it go?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're like, is this going to be my day?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Another one we'll go into. Dom, do you use this one? This is probably a Nick one. Head and shoulders. And inverse head and shoulders.
See, the thing is, I don't necessarily buy off of them, but I at least want to recognize what could happen.
Right.
There's a lot of head and shoulders everywhere, but especially in penny stocks.
What does that look like?
Head and shoulders actually looks like
head and shoulders.
It's like a little, mountain. It's a one peak, then it drops down, then a big peak in the middle,
which
drops
is the
back
shoulder,
down, and meets the other peak.
So if you look like an M with a big peak in the middle.
Pull one up so I can look at it on the phone real fast.
I'm going to draw it for you.
Yeah, draw it for head me. But I want to look one up so our listeners can pull it up too and see. Oh.
Head and shoulders.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Hold it up again. What do you think? I like the way that looks.
I bet you do.
It's like three mountains.
It's like a mountain peak, yes.
That's what I would call it.
The three mountains. We'll refer to that one now.
The three musketeers.
As the mountain range.
Dude, like us, guys.
Yeah, that is.
It I'm
is
the like middle us. One.
You've got the double top, the double bottom, also probably pretty common. The thing with all of these, and this is, I know this is simplified for traders out there that, I mean, well, we're saying, giving a very simplified description. So for traders out there who know what all this is, you know, it might be boring, but you know, for people who don't know what it is, there's hopefully informative, and they all have a breakout point, a specific breakout point that make them what they are. Is that correct, Dom?
Yeah, and you have clear cut risk, clear cut entry, clear cut exit in each of them. So when you're using patterns like that, it's way safer.
Yeah.
My only thing with a lot of like the double tops, double bottoms, head and shoulders patterns is if you're gonna play those, track how you play them, because a lot of people just think, oh, it's a head and shoulders, so I'll buy or I'll short here, and then wonder why it's going wrong. You have to find your own consistency within the patterns.
Right.
Ooh.
Totally.
I feel that. Gotta track it.
I feel that as well.
Gotta track it.
Especially if you're going into it with that mindset, you're like, listen, I got to figure this pattern out. You got to track it.
Yeah, because then it's just going to be like, oh, the pattern doesn't work. It's like, well, how did you trade the pattern?
Right.
Because everybody's different with that. Mm-hmm. Some people like to buy at different points. Some people are uncomfortable shorting at certain points. There's just so many factors, and everybody trades different. So if you're not going to track it, you're probably trading randomness, and you're going to wonder why you lose sometimes and then you win other times. It's like a little self-fulfilling prophecy.
I'm trading based on heart.
Soul only heart.
Love of the game.
I like that. Now, do you know we've got the pennant pattern, the flag pattern, there's so many of them.
I don't know those ones.
The pennant is
it's a great bar.
It actually looks just like a pennant.
Is that like an all-day fade?
It's on 130 North.
It's a It's two lines, resistance and support, slowly meet each other.
Okay.
So, and then it breaks out from there.
Now, how many times will that happen in a stock a day that you're looking at? More than once?
I think it can happen at any chart that you're looking at. You could look at it from a day chart and just use day candles. You could look at it from, it depends.
Oh, okay.
What your strategy is.
How far you're zooming out.
Right. Dom's looking at the 5-minute chart, maybe even the 1-minute chart on these. And some people play them looking at the 2-day chart.
Yeah.
It's
day chart, 1-minute chart. If it's a little bit liquid, 15-minute chart will help.
Yeah.
Nice.
You get your long holders, your long players, they might even look at the week chart and just use week candles and be like, okay, I'm going to invest in this and hold it forever.
I feel like I'm always looking at the 1 minute for some reason.
Well, it's exciting. A 1 minute is the most exciting chart.
Of course, no shock.
No shock. None at all. But that's where, you know, that's just the style trader you are. You're in, and
I'm a momentum guy.
Yeah, momentum. Absolutely. I think that's a...
Momentum's beautiful.
It is beautiful. So we got the bond markets closed today. Veterans Day.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Didn't know that.
Market's open, though.
Regular markets open, and this is my favorite days. I don't know if you recall the last time this happened.
Oh, I think didn't you say something about that?
I did.
I feel like you did.
I definitely did, and I'll say the saying again.
Was it Labor Day? You said that?
I don't remember what day it was. It was the last time the bond market was closed and the equity market was open, but you know the age-old saying, when the adults are away, the kids will play.
Right. That's right.
Today, bond markets closed, we're green again. And I don't know if you remember that time, but it was more of an exciting experiment to me that it was like, oh, markets are green, everything's going crazy because the bond players, the people who are in the bond market, are just playing with everybody now. And then tomorrow it's going to correct itself. And that happened in that instance. Curious to see if it's going to happen in this instance where if we relive the same thing, today should be green and then it will correct itself tomorrow with a massive correction.
Just go away. Bond guys just got to go away. Bond, my uncle's a bond guy.
That's...
It's a very adult thing to do. Yeah.
It is.
Seems pretty adult. Bonds are expensive.
I know, but I feel like it's fading out. I feel like less people are going to start trading bonds or holding bonds.
Well, it's a lot less movement.
It is,
It's very sturdy. You're not really... You can't make the gains that you could make as quickly at all in the bond market, so...
Yeah, you got to wait years.
Right. But if you have a ton of money that you just want to keep safe, bond market's probably the way to do it.
Right.
But
I
can't wait to see what happens with the bond market. And now I think we just talk about what we're looking at the moment, what we're feeling. I want to go bearish because I'm feeling bearish this morning.
Feeling bearish?
I'm going against the grain here. We'll say bullish next, but let's go bearish. What are we bearish on today?
That's a good question.
I think there's a lot to feel bearish about.
I don't know if there's a multi-day runner that I've been just waiting to drop. Well, the thing I have a put on, Sava.
Pfizer. I'm bearish on Pfizer.
You are bearish on Pfizer today. I think I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pull this card because while you guys
think... Are you going to buy a put on Pfizer?
No.
Yeah, I just did.
Did
no,
you
I didn't. Okay.
You never know with you.
Almost.
You never know with you.
I mean, it's open. The screen's open.
I was thinking of buying a Tesla put.
Ooh. Let's do it.
Because Tesla right now, where is that at, Dom?
It's at 417.
417. I'm going to say in the near future, in the next few weeks.
Open to 408.
It's going to be... 375.
Why? What's going on? You know something?
I don't know something. I just have a feeling. So I'm feeling bearish. It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling of feeling bearish about Tesla.
Well, I just got to get into my mind that I'm feeling bullish on it, and then I'll buy the put. You know,
I feel
do the opposite.
The only problem with buying a Tesla option is it's really expensive. They're really expensive.
Yeah, let's see.
So I may not buy it, but
they're just nine days out.
Too expensive.
Would you go 9 days out?
I would go out as far as I
16 could. 23.
I would probably say you're safe 16 days out to at least
days?
Make a little bit of money off of that.
And it's trading at 416.81. So would you buy the 415 or the 417.50 put?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it. I sort of have to see it.
Yeah, you're looking at like 1900.
Yeah, that's expensive. They're really, really expensive. This goes against my heart and all my being. And I talk about this on every episode, almost Disney.
Me too.
I love Disney. It's my favorite place in the world.
You do love Disney.
But I would be a little bearish right now.
You make a lot of money on this Tesla put. Artie, you're going to Disney,
that's
buddy.
Right, you're going to Disney World. I'd be bearish there. I'd be bearish on Apple.
This is going to sound crazy, but would you be bearish on Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel right now, I mean, yes, because we're going back into pandemic mode. I have a feeling.
I know.
So it's at 132, which is still like coming off of the high the other day, 142.
Right. Could be a good one.
I still think it's going to go back down under 120.
Yeah.
So I'm a bear on those three.
Me too, man. I'm right there with you on Cracker Barrel.
We've been talking a lot about me being a bear. How about you guys? What else? What do you have?
I'm definitely a bear on Pfizer. Definitely a bear on Cracker Barrel. Might be a bear on Boeing. Everybody's talking about Boeing getting in, but I don't know. Especially if we're going back into pandemic mode.
Right.
Could be a good one. It's trading at 187. I don't know. But
he's a bear on Boeing.
Could be a bear on Boeing. Don't quote me.
They call him the Boeing bear.
Guess I got one. Hertz. Since it's now on the OTC.
God.
It's just been falling.
I love that you said Hertz. So update me on Hertz, because I remember when Hertz was popping like crazy a few months back.
Yeah.
It was like they just announced bankruptcy and the thing was taking off to put you there if you weren't there. Hertz was trading at like $3, I think, between probably like $1 and $3, but it was maybe so volatile.
It might have hit like 4 or 5. Yeah, I forget.
It might even went above that, but it was all over the place. It was like a lot of people's favorite stock to be in for a minute. So continue. Hertz.
I don't know why this thing wasn't on the OTC to begin with, because I always thought as soon as you went bankrupt, off to the OTC with you. It stayed as a listed stock for quite some time. Finally made its way over there, and it's just kind of been dropping, not much volume, and then it'll gap down huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's going to keep doing that.
Where's it at now?
It's at 121.
Which is actually more than I thought it would be.
The first day on the OTC, it hit like almost $3.
Pretty sick.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
That's unbelievable. He's a Hertz bear.
So would be nice to see it as a 6 cent stock at some point.
Damn.
I missed a almost 100% move yesterday.
That rocks.
Because I sold out of boredom. Something I've never done before.
Wow.
I was like,
what a millennial.
I'm really hungry. I think I'm going to go make some lunch. So I sold for like a 3% gain. Came back and it was up about, at that point, it was like 40%, and then went another 30-40% off of that.
Off for lunch. What'd you eat?
I think I just reheated like some pasta or something.
Oh my God. Reheated pasta.
That's rough. Like, how did you reheat it?
I reheated it in the microwave. It's not even like I like it.
You're making me sick.
There's mistakes happening.
But it was like 2 o'clock. I hadn't eaten anything.
That's a dark day.
Yeah.
That's a dark day.
Yeah.
Reheating the microwave?
Yeah.
And at 2 o'clock? That's like way too intense. 2 o'clock
pasta. I know.
That'll put you down.
Yeah, that will put you down. Bulls.
I am a bull on Apple.
Oh, why? What makes you a bull on Apple?
Well, they announced their new chips. They got new chips.
What flavor?
Fast. I just feel like it's been beaten down for so long. It's coming back now. Here we go. Like, get ready. Christmas is right around the corner.
Oof.
118.24. I mean, I can't buy a bucket with this stock, man.
You can't buy a bucket with it?
Yeah, it's like, remember NBA Jam?
I do.
And you would keep missing. It's like, can't buy a bucket. Yeah,
gotcha. Like,
shut up.
NBA Jam, what a nice throwback that was.
So, average 121.23. And I am a bull on Neo, even though I did buy that put. But I feel like Neo just keeps on trucking.
Do you have Neo?
I don't have it right now.
Okay.
But I should have got it this morning when it was at 38. It's at 41. But it's been hovering around the 40s.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I'm a bull on. What about you? Walmart?
I definitely feel bullish about Walmart. I feel good about that. I feel bullish about Target. I think there's earnings coming up soon that will be great for both companies. I feel bullish on, and I think, like I said in the last episode, I feel like there's room for growth there. I feel like with everything with Pfizer coming out this week and then saying Moderna's has a similar thing, but it was also government funded, and I know a lot went into that, so they're going to be wanting that to do well.
Yeah,
I feel a little bit bullish there as well as far as vaccines go, and I've been watching that for a while. It seems like they've been on a good track for a long time, so I would love to see
that
happen.
One.
Yeah, and I'd also love to just see more good vaccine things happen for our world.
Oh yeah,
I feel like
I'm definitely team vaccine.
Yeah, definitely want that thing to happen.
Dom, you got it. You a bull anywhere?
Yeah.
Well,
even though
puberty,
even though the weed sector has gone down the last 3 days, I am still.
It'll get high again.
Oh my! That's what I'm hoping for. I just think the sector just needs good news all around, which I'm not sure will happen. I thought we'd get a little bit more of a pop, like a bigger run, but honestly, it's died off a little bit. And one particular stock I'm pretty bullish about is OPTI.
I feel like I feel like you hang around this stock a lot.
Yeah, I don't know why it always comes back. I haven't traded. I've only traded it two or three times, but it's always there. That and Gaxi. Just because they
love Gaxi.
Gaxi's treated.
So that's it for today. We had a great time. Can't wait till next week. We're going to kick it off with a Monday episode all about earnings and some other things you might want to pay attention to. And as always, none of this is financial advice. We're just a few people spewing a lot of hot air. I'm excited to say that our 300 to 1,000 challenge seems to be moving nicely. So we'll update everybody next week. And if you have any tickers that you think we should dive into, please let us know. Reach out to us on social media. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. All right, everybody. Talk to you soon. Until then, good luck moshing in the markets.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.